Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Happy Friday evening to you. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And
this is Shasta Outdoors. Say your name again. I think you were on.
And I'm Diane Morgan. There I am.
And you are listening to Shasta Outdoors as an outreach of It Does My Soul Well. Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guests, news, and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. It's all about outdoor recreation, getting out in God's beautiful creation. I don't know about you, but it does my soul well every time I do.
And, Tim, don't we live in a beautiful area? There are so many wonderful opportunities to get out there and enjoy hiking and camping, mountain biking, kayaking, golfing, snow skiing, water skiing, boating, fishing, horseback riding, motorcycle riding, hunting. And the list, as you well know, goes on and on.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about a couple of those things tonight. Tonight we have a couple great guests.
That's right. First of all, we have Casey Bokovich from Redding Dirt Riders, who's going to be telling us about a big event that's happening this weekend near Shasta Dam.
And we have Lori Templeton. She's the owner of Grind Fire Defense, but she's really here to share with us some camping tips, tricks, and hacks. Camping season is definitely upon us, especially if you're a camper like me. I mean, I'm not into the snow camping.
Snow camping.
Yeah.
Bring me up an example of that.
I've got a prime example for you.
Okay, please.
A few years ago, I get this phone call. It's late at night, and it's my mom, and she tells me that my niece might be going into labor and having a baby. And that niece happens to be your daughter, Diane. And at the time, you and your husband, you're still with him, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You and your husband, you were park managers of RV park there in Hat Creek.
Yes.
I was living in Bernie at the time. Nobody could get a hold of you. You weren't answering your phone.
This is right. I remember this. Uh-huh.
And in Bernie, there was at least a foot of snow.
Yeah.
By the time I got to Old Station in Hat Creek, there was like 2 to 3 foot of snow up there. So I call that snow camping. And you guys were living there year round. Of course, you had a fifth wheel. And I pulled up to the RV park and I couldn't just drive back there. I literally had to park, make my way through the snow. I finally could see a bit of a campfire going on that Richie had built and knocked on your door. So when you say you don't know about snow camping, well, of course you do.
You
were up there camping in it. Well, I mean, you were living the high life in the fifth wheel, but you know.
That's right. When I think of it, I was in this really nice fifth wheel, all cozy, and it was no just campfire. It was a bonfire. It was blazing.
Yeah, it was huge.
Every day. And so he kept us all nice and warm. And we were pretty set up there, but there was one thing we didn't have, and that was phone service.
Right,
so,
right.
Thank you for coming.
You guys were out in the boondocks. I mean, no one else was in the RV park. No one else was around. And I thought, man, I don't know if I could do that year-round. And it was so dark. So dark. And, by the way, my niece did not go into labor that night.
I know.
I think she went another month before she actually wound up having the baby, little baby Henry. And so when is his birthday?
Oh, well, he just had his birthday.
Yes. So that tells us about the time of year it was. So it was around February or so.
Yes. He just had it last week. So.
Right. So how was your last week? Did you go out and do anything out in the outdoors?
Well, to tell you the truth, I did a little work. But my work actually entails a lot of lifting and delivering and whatnot. My husband, who's a handyman, does a little bit of everything.
Right.
And I try to help him out as best I can. But I'm thinking about going back into some substitute teaching, perhaps.
I'm thinking
about that.
But that doesn't tell me if you got outdoors. I went.
That's the best I did.
I did some hiking last weekend. So I went up to the McLeod Arm of Shasta Lake. I went to the Decus Rock campground, and there's a trail that leads from that south along the McLeod arm of the lake to Hertz mm-hmm. Bay Campground. And very nice hike, except that there were a number of trees that had fallen.
From the snow.
Yeah, from the snow, rain,
right.
You know, and but I was able to make my way around them and through some of them.
Yeah.
There was probably five or six very large ones, and it was about a three-mile hike. And then Sunday afternoon, I hiked the Klickitat Trail, which is near Jones Valley.
Remember that.
And that is it's a nice hike, but it's about 7.25 miles to take that little hike around. And, of course, had Calamity Jane with me, and she loves to go out there and go hiking. I finally could get her out and about.
I've still been waiting for my invitation. When are you going to invite me?
It's an ongoing invitation. You just have to figure out when I'm going.
Yes, that's right. So, I have to catch up with you.
Right. Anyway, hey, let's get right to one of our guests here. There is a big event going on this weekend. It's an event that's been around for a long time, and we're very familiar with this particular event. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit. But we have Casey Bokovich is here from the Redding Dirt Riders. And, Casey, tell us what's going on this weekend.
Well, this weekend we have the Shasta Dam Grand Prix. And that is something that has been going on since about the late 80s.
Right.
And it's probably the largest unheard-of event as far as attendance here in Shasta County, because we'll average anywhere from 400 to 500 racers for the entire weekend.
Right. And this is a motorcycle hare and scramble race.
Yes, correct. It's an off-road race for motorcycles.
Right.
Correct.
And that is taking place where?
It's the Chappie Shasta OHV Park at the Shasta Dam.
Right. So to get there, you basically have to go across the dam.
Correct.
And then you make a left and sort of go down to the base or closer to the river.
Correct.
And is that where the race is going to start?
That's where the start is. It's not really a type of an event that's well-suited for a lot of spectating. There is some area where the course does come back down, but it's just not that type. There's the large course this year is 20 miles in length, and other courses go down for the kids that are starting out literally, you know, on the smallest bike you can get out there.
Right.
Just about over a mile in length.
Okay.
So, and it goes, you know, 7 to 10 miles. So Saturday we have a total of 5 different races with various classes.
Right.
Sunday we have 2 classes, with the first one being the large course mm-hmm. with the professional racers and expert riders and intermediate and so forth going down. And then the second race is the sportsman class, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
So it's for the average person that's going out there that likes to get their feet wet. And they're broken down by classes for size of the motorcycle, the type of motorcycle, and age bracket, as well as skill level. So there's really a niche out there for anybody that wants to get out and have competition.
Right. If somebody who just wanted to go out, and I have personally been out there a number of times and watched the races, and I know exactly what you're talking about, because they go up in the hills. It's not like mm-hmm. you could see them on the entire race.
Correct.
But at various places, and it mm-hmm. is kind of fun when they're coming through, you know, and to watch them. Mm-hmm. But if someone was to go out there, is there a cost to attend the event?
You know, it's $10 we're asking for a donation because of the expense we have to put out as a club for various expenses, because to put on an event like this with the Redding Dirt Riders, we have approximately 100 volunteers that are out there over the course of this. Since yesterday we started setting up, today marking all the course, and then the actual race day. And that's just also, you know, it's on course. It's our referee. It's our person who is the event steward. It's all the people who are doing their registration. This is such a huge effort, and it's one of those things that makes us so proud of our club, but it's also a reflection here of Shasta County. When, you know, there was a recent poll I saw that they're showing that, you know, volunteerism, patriotism, and all that is really falling off the mm-hmm. chart. We're just the opposite, and that's why I love living here.
Right.
That's why I love where we're at. This is just night and day difference, and the people that we attract tomorrow or starting tonight, when people are getting off work in Southern California, and for the record, I refer to Southern California as anything south of Red Bluff. But
I'm right there with you.
but they're God bless them. They're all coming up, and you know we're going to get people here a lot tonight, and tomorrow will be a crush, and then tomorrow night as well when the adults all show up. It's our conditions out there could not be any better as far as the dirt and the soil, because that's a big deal for off-road motorcycle riding, because it's hot and dusty out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But on a regular basis, anytime after April.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
and it's cold and snowy, as we've seen. And all of our courses this year, they are all below the snow line. And we really are threading the needle here with our local weather. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and this is something that's going to go on rain or shine, right?
Rain or shine. And I have to give a tip of the hat to our local BLM office because each one of these offices, believe it or not, they have a different management philosophy. It's not consistent even through the state or within the entire organization. And we are so blessed here in the North State with our local BLM and the whole idea they are public lands for use by the public.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all, you know, with regards to your program, so we're all environmentalists. We want to go out there and enjoy it.
Yes.
But we don't want it to be to where you can't enjoy it. And this is just, I can't get over how responsive they are and how supportive. And it's one of those modeled relationships that needs to be duplicated outside of our area.
Yeah. I hear good things. And last week we had Redding Trail Alliance here.
Yes.
And they work with BLM when they're, you know, proposing a trail.
Yep.
When they're out there working. And so, great. I'm glad you said that.
And what does BLM stand for? I don't know. I don't even know.
Bureau of Land Management.
Thank you.
Yeah. Some people think it's something else, but I won't go there.
Don't go there.
At least not today. Tell us a little bit about the Redding Dirt Riders, Casey.
So the Redding Dirt Riders is an off-road club that's been around since about 1970, plus or minus right there. In fact, it's been a continuous operation. This weekend we have our most senior member, Glenn McNeely. He's up there working, marking trail today, since he's been a member since 1971, continuously.
Wow.
And we have several members who are in the mid-70s going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we have members that are of that seniority bracket to where we literally have youngsters who are racing on 50cc motorcycles. So it's quite the gambit. And we're really a cross-section of what you see in Shasta County. I mean, from professionals to blue-collar folks, everything in between.
Right.
And when it comes to coming together with motorcycles and enjoying the outdoors, it's just such a great vibe.
Yes.
It really is, because, you know, everybody wants to take care of one another, make sure that the folks that are coming up here to enjoy our area, they're getting taken care of as well.
Yeah. Awesome. That I just love to hear all of that. It's been a while since I've done any kind of trail riding, but I absolutely love it. You know, I do a lot of hiking, but man, you can get on a motorcycle and you get up higher and further and get into some places that are absolutely beautiful. And most of the riders that I know, if not all of the riders I know, have that appreciation for the great outdoors and where that motorcycle can take them. And so that is a absolute wonderful thing. And Casey, we let you know, that when it comes to the Shasta Dam Grand Prix that we actually have royalty here tonight.
Oh,
isn't that right, Diane?
If you can consider it that.
Well, I mean, tell them. Come on, tell them how you were crowned in the latter part of last century.
Okay, picture this. Yes, I started the race, Miss Shasta Dam Grand Prix. I think it was 1986. And if you can picture a cross between Olivia Newton-John in Grease and Flashdance with hooker heels, I think that would be the picture of me starting the race. They brought me in on a helicopter, and I had to drive around on a four-wheeler, go to the beginning of the race, and stand on the seat. How I did that in my heels, I have no idea. And then drop that flag.
Do you have any pictures of that? Because we want those.
Oh, yes, I do.
I really do
I
want those.
I actually do. It's
That's
hilarious.
Awesome.
Yes.
That is awesome.
I do. I actually do. But I have it in the tucked away, you know, in the do not let anyone else look at file. But I can.
We would love to see that.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Put it in the Redding Dirt Riders Museum that they're going to be putting together.
Yes.
And what's rather interesting is that our brother-in-law, the one who is married to the most beautiful child among us, to
yes,
our sister Cindy, he won the race that year, Ronnie Naylor.
Yes,
he did. And back in the day, it was a national race, and he rode for a few years there professionally as a Hare and Scramble rider.
I don't know. Is he riding?
Oh, yes, he is riding. He's not racing. I don't know Ronnie personally, but if I'm accurate on this, I think he's a 10-time winner of the event.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, he's
so far beyond anybody, any other professional that we've had up there. And what was interesting with regards to Ronnie is this past summer I had the opportunity to ride with a couple people of his his age and seniority bracket, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were very good riders as well. And it turned out they were team members of Ronnie with the International 6 Days Enduro, so the Olympics of off-road riding
right.
for the world. And Ronnie has been on that team.
Yes, he has.
And, yep. and these individuals, when they heard that we were Redding Dirt Riders because of the pedigree from our general area, they're all, hey, do you guys know about Ronnie? I don't know him personally, but you know everybody up here does know the name.
Right.
And, gosh, they were commenting. I mean, even his teammates just were like, oh my gosh, what an incredible talent. And truly, I believe it's one of those names and those athletic legends that we have here in the North State that maybe is at the top of that nobody on the average outside of motorcycling really knows.
Right.
But his skills were so good. In fact, you know, he was that guy that was the positive impression on a lot of youngsters as when they were young, and he was racing hard. And a lot of our members now who are, you know, men in their 40s, they look back on him. And one of the stories that I guess he had shared with them is people were accusing him of cutting courses because he was that fast compared to everybody in the country right. when they've come out.
Yes.
And one of the lore is going to a race in Idaho and finishing so far ahead of, and having heard that, and his father saying, pack it up, we're leaving before they even do the trophy,
right.
before the next guy comes in. It's pretty impressive. It makes me, yeah. having not known, it makes me yeah. proud, you know, as an off-roader here in the North State,
yeah.
that's what we've got.
Oh, yeah. I went to one of his races in Idaho there in, I believe, Sun Valley.
Yes.
Idaho, and, you know, he'd win by 15 minutes. It was just incredible.
And we have lots of racers that have continued on with that within the district that they're top-tier racers. They finished at the top within their class, at the expert class. You may or may not be aware of it, but with Faders Motorcycles, the Faders, they did Baja this past year, the 1000, mm-hmm. and they won the 30 veteran class.
Awesome. Awesome.
So it was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. We are still continuing that on through Riding Dirt Riders and our overall community. It's just amazing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Casey, excuse me. I've got to take a break here. Thank you so much. Again, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, Saturday is going to be the youngsters mainly. Sunday is going to be the pros. And they're at Shasta Dam. Folks, go out, watch this race, rain or shine.
Yes.
It's going to be happening, and it's
a
great event, and we just want to do everything we can to promote that and love to see a lot of people
yes.
out there. Again, Casey, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You. Thank you for the invite.
You betcha. Okay. All right, we got to take a break. You're listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough and Diane Morgan. We'll be right back.
The Ring of Fire.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Maspada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Redding Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit reddingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
I saw the light in a sunrise sitting back in a forest. side getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running. Say
all right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
And we are here tonight with Lori Templeton. And I am really excited to talk with her this evening and the topic that we're going to be talking about. But Lori is the owner of Grind Fire Defense. She's also a veteran. Mm-hmm. And best of all, she's a friend. And so I have really enjoyed getting to know Lori. We've been mutually involved in the local Reading Chamber of Commerce through business, and we've had that kind of connection and really have learned quite a bit myself about, you know, fire defense and all of that. So, Lori, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored to be here. I appreciate the great intro and have an opportunity to just share a little bit about what we do. So thanks so much.
Oh, yeah. It's our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about what is Grind Fire Defense?
Okay, so Grind Fire Defense, I mean, in a nutshell, really is a defensible space and fire prevention company using fuel mitigation to prevent fires before they come. Not prevent fires, but to get your house ready for wildfires. So we do fire protection and prevention through reducing vegetation around your home.
Okay. Home, property.
Home, property, yeah, commercial, residential. I mean, really the idea is if you take the fuel source away, then, you know, if a wildfire comes, then your house is that much more protected. And it goes in line with the state and federal laws. We're seeing, you know, everybody is feeling the insurance companies putting the pressure on to make sure there's defensible space within that 100 feet from your structure.
Right.
And Grind Fire Defense really focuses on that 0 to 300 feet that is so critical for homeowners to know what to do. You know,
right.
We come across a lot of people that it's not that they don't want to do it, it's just maybe we don't know what to do.
Right.
And so one of our passions is to go and talk to individual homeowners and educate them, because there's a lot of things that they can do and they don't have to hire a company. They just need to know a little bit of the fire science behind it, know why the fuel's burning and how, and we do that education piece along with taking the vegetation out.
Right. And how did you get into doing this kind of work, Lori?
You know, in the morning, I didn't grow up here, but we've been here for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I raised my kids here, and we all have lived fires.
Yes.
It's just been part of what we do. And I love being outdoors in nature, which leads into the camping. And we've been evacuated from enough fires and been through the firestorms up in Lewiston. And during the Monument fire, I was up there with my son evacuating my mom, and my dad had passed, and he had always done defensible space. As a kid, we called it work, because
right.
They lived on a mountain. We had to go, I mean, we just had to take the fuel off. And then my son, who is my business partner, always had a passion for the woods. So he was a logger, and then he went into the fire service because he had a passion for it. And him and I were up there evacuating my mom. And it hit me. I'm like, what do people do that don't have a 6'1", 300-pound sawyer, logger,
right,
man out there that can cut the vegetation away, move things, and help educate? You know, what do they do?
I'm right.
Like, there's a whole gap, and we just realized that there's an entire population of people that are at risk just because they don't have help. And so we're like, well, what can we do? Well, John's a firefighter, so he understands and speaks fire. I've been in business for so long. I was in the military. I understand logistics. I understand business. I was a teacher in Red Bluff, so I have the education.
Right.
And so we just put that together and said, how do we help the community? Mm. What can we do? And that's how Grind was born. I mean, really, we just said, let's do it. And so we made some choices and switched gears, and Grind was born. And the name, I mean, we're hand crews, so we don't do the mastication. We have just chose to start with hand crews. And so everybody always asks us about grind. Do we grind the material? No, we don't. Grind is a mindset.
Right.
And I think if you live up in the North State and you want to live in the wilderness and you want to be in nature and live in that beautiful area, there is a grind component to it. Mm. You know, there's work that has to be done to get you safe, and it's a mindset. And so from that, we've just kind of we've just grown. And yeah, it's just been amazing. This is the best community, hands down. They love veterans, and like the gentleman before me was saying, there's volunteers in the business community, and everybody works together for the same mission. You know, we were just on a job today, and we had neighbors coming by excited that somebody was, you know, somebody was doing a piece. Because if everybody does their own piece, we protect the community as a whole.
Right.
And it was really neat to see people coming and supporting the neighbor that was deciding to do something. And it's just encouraging how supportive this community is.
That's awesome. Hey, before we take a break here, how can we get a hold of you if somebody needs this kind of service? And I know you'll even go out and just evaluate the
property
for them.
Yeah, we do free evaluations just to talk to you about it. We do home assessments. We don't do the CAL FIRE certification because that belongs to CAL FIRE and the fire service. But we do go out there. John knows the regs, and he can evaluate the property and give you an estimate, or just go out there and tell you how you can be safe.
Right.
Because that's the goal, bottom line.
Awesome. And they can call you at area code 530-999-2035. Okay.
Or our second number is 530-564-1039. And you can also catch us online and fill out a form at www.grindfiredefense.com.
Grindfiredefense.com. All right. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk with Lori. And she's going to give us some camping tips and tricks and hacks. And I'm looking forward to this. I might actually start camping again. We'll see. We'll be back after these messages.
On down the San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough along with
Diane Morgan.
Diane Morgan, it's great having you here again, Diane, on your second week. You're already a pro.
Oh, it must be just natural because it's just in the family here.
So if someone wants to get a hold of us, how can they do that?
Oh, Shasta Outdoors.
Yeah.
DoesMySoulWell.com. And or you can reach us at itdoesmysoulwell@gmail.com or find me on Facebook at itdoesmysoulwell.
All right.
The phone number?
No, don't give them the phone number. I get these texts from people that are trying to give me money.
Oh.
Yeah,
Jim.
And I have so much money now.
You have to turn them down.
Yeah, I just can't take any more. It's going to hurt me when it comes. Well, it is tax season, right? So
it
I can't
is.
Do that. Hey, big event coming up also. Yes. Another event this weekend. the Reading Sportsman's Expo. And that is going to be tomorrow from 9 to 5 p.m. And also on Sunday from 9 to 4 p.m. This is a great place to go. I mean, this is – I'm going to be there. You're going to be there, right?
I'm going to be there.
I see you're already dressed for it.
I am.
I am too. And we're going to go around and we're going to see some things that have to do with camping and fly fishing and boating and hiking and all of these wonderful outdoor things that I really enjoy. And one day you will too, Diane.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can you even leave that place without wanting to go outdoors and do something? It's impossible.
Exactly. It's a dream place for me. But if you'd like to go, it's $7 for general admission, $5 for senior. So, hey, Diane, discount there for you.
You too, brother.
If you're 12 and under, free. And on Sunday, I really like this. If you're a veteran, it is free on Sunday for all veterans. And so just another great way to honor our veterans and their service to our nation. So I'm very grateful for that. And Lori with Grind Fire Defense is here. Now, you're going to be there, right?
Yeah, we'll be there.
All right.
We're supporting. It's a great event. We're really excited about that. Hoping, you know, people come by and stop by the booth. You know, and hopefully there's a lot of avid hunters out there. You know, if you clear a lot of that brush away, then the deer, you could see them and they come in. They come in closer as long as it's cleared away.
Absolutely. You know, one time when I was living up in Bernie, my property backed up to Sierra Pacific property, and they had gone in and started clearing trees or thinning the trees, I should say. They weren't clearing them. And it literally brought the bears into that area.
Brings everything in because they can move and get in.
It was kind of amazing. So I got to see a couple bears live and up in person.
No
Bigfoots though. No Sasquatch. That was a little bit disappointing, but
we need to have that subject on here one time.
That is on the list. But Lori, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about camping and some camping tips and tricks. And
we need tips and tricks.
Yes, and it really is something I know that a lot of people are starting to think about. This next week is supposed to be a little bit drier, and we're going to talk about that. But Liam Bryant, who is operating the board for us tonight, is going to give us a little bit of a weather forecast. Am I going to be able to go hiking tomorrow, Liam?
Well, I don't really know because this whole last week is supposed to have been really rainy. Today was supposed to be really rainy, and it wasn't.
Right.
But we do have a 70% chance of showers tomorrow.
Okay.
With a high of 54.
All right.
We also had a chance of showers today with a high of 56. So,
yeah. There you go, right?
Just hope for the best.
The wind came.
Oh, yeah. So if 70% chance of showers, I'll do a 70% shorter hike. How's that sound? We'll just go right with it. So
Make
I guess this time of year, springtime especially, if you want to know what the weather's going to be, just go out and take a look. There it is. And so, Lori, you're a camper. You like to go camping. What kind of camping do you do?
Man, we were avid campers. We did tent camping. And most of it was when my kids were growing up. And we absolutely, it was a lot of work. But, look, you know, if you set up the systems and, like, some tips and trips, tips we were going to talk about, we really, my sister and I were both single moms, and I had three kids, and she had one, and we knew enough to know that you don't just bring your own kids. You always bring a friend. So if each child brought a friend, they always had somebody to keep them busy, and they were happy. So we always made sure the kids had their best friend to go with them, because if they have their best friend, they're not asking you to entertain them. And so that, you know, that's one thing. Bring the friend. It's worth the investment. To do that. And so they were, one, excited to have a friend with them. And we would go from 10 to 14 days out. We love Trinidad. Prairie Creek was a good one.
Where is that at, Prairie Creek?
Out at the coast.
Okay.
So if you go up Trinidad and then go up, you're going to bump into all the different campgrounds. Our favorite was Oryx. And because the elk would come into the campground.
Nice.
And for kids to be able to go see herds of elk, you know, naturally walking. You could hear them.
Yes.
I don't know the name of baying or making that great noise they make waking you up in the morning. But it was just absolutely beautiful. It was far enough away from the coastline, so if you've not camped near the coast a lot, the closer you are to the water, the wetter your stuff's going to be in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. Because all that mist comes in, and it just drenches everything you have, so your tablecloths get soggy, your napkins get soggy. So we always camped inland a little bit, so we didn't get the coastal fog, but we were only a half hour away or 20 minutes away in a car to go to any beach along the coastline.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And so we learned really quick that, you know, if you just went inland a little bit, you kept your stuff dry. Plus, with a bunch of kids, they always have towels, and you can't hang them up in the wet mist. They'll never dry. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things. So those are our favorite campgrounds. And then locally here, we would go out to Trinity Lake, mm-hmm. Lewiston Lake,
nice
and
places.
Camp. I just absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So, so it sounds like your camping experiences with, a number of kids.
Yes.
You know, and, when Diane and I were kids, we went with mom and dad and we did mm-hmm. camping. And of course, when I grew up and had my own kids, I'd take them camping.
Yeah.
And so what are some other tips or tricks or things that you do on these trips?
I think my favorite one was we established an understanding that it was everybody's trip. It wasn't the kids' trip and mom and dad were here to serve and make sure the kids had fun. It was collectively our time, which meant the two adults in the group, my sister and I, also were allowed to enjoy the trip, which meant the kids shared all the chores. So and to make it a little bit fun, I don't know how fun they thought. I thought it was a blast, but we would do drawing names and numbers, and we did learn that kids work better in pairs. Mm-hmm. And so they could pair themselves up because they brought their little friends. And then we did numbers and everybody did numbers and the numbers were associated with a chore. So dishes were number one. Mm-hmm. Picking up the campground was number two. We always cooked. So they had to clean. Cause you know, I'm not cooking and cleaning on my vacation.
Like our mom.
So, right. So there was a breakfast, there was a lunch, and there was a dinner. So whatever arrangement you had, but we associated it with the car, and then we ripped them up and we let them draw. So they drew their chores, and that was their chore for the whole trip. So we didn't do chores. Like,
for the whole trip.
Whole trip. Oh, no, it was like, if your breakfast, that's your breakfast dishes the whole time. Now, you can bribe, negotiate, figure out what you want to do with your siblings, but somebody's doing it, and it's not me.
Right.
Because I'm paying. Mm-hmm. I paid, I drove, and I'm cooking. So the kids, now we had age groups from 4 to 10, mm-hmm. because we had the three kids. So even the little bitties had to have the same chore, but then the olders could come in and help. Now, it wasn't our job to tell the olders. The olders just knew that, you know, part of getting lunch was having breakfast dishes done, right?
Right.
So we worked together. Mm-hmm. So that was a big one, having a set schedule that everybody understood before we went. And then once we got to the campground, we had like a fun celebration about who's going to get what chore. And so we did that. That really helped it. Another thing is when I brought the friends, the parents all donated either food or $100. I'm going to take your child for 2 weeks. You can either give me $100 in Cheetos. I don't care what you bring. You can either bring me a couple boxes of Cheetos or food.
What a great idea.
Or you could give me $100 because I'm going to have your child.
That is
and I'll
awesome.
Tell you what, I never had a parent go, no.
Of course not.
And we would look at, and it took some planning at the front end of what things and I would give them a choice. You can bring A, B, or C, or give me $100. And they go to Costco and buy mm-hmm. whenever we went, which worked out really great because then we didn't have to do it. And then we had a couple days before the trip was the due date by. You can tell I was a elementary school teacher, junior high teacher, right?
Right.
So it was a field trip planning. I knew your child was coming. Here's the time you're going to make sure I have the money and the food by. And I also had the spirit of if the money and the food doesn't show up, but the child does, then he just gets picked up by you later because he's not coming.
Right?
All worked, but it was a great group. And so it was this pre-planning and understanding. And then each child came because if you ever go camping on the campgrounds, it costs you money to get a shower and it costs you money to do laundry. And then the kids always want to spend money. So I said, bring three baggies. I need $20 or $10 of quarters in each baggie. $10 in quarters for their showers, $10 in quarters for their laundry. And then I don't care how you give them $10, but they need some spending money.
Right.
And so each child would show up with their little baggie. So now they're teaching, now they're learning fiscal responsibility, right?
Yes.
I don't want you to stink the whole time, but if you blow your shower money, you're the stinky kid on the trip. Right? So they would have their three baggies with quarters that they kept with them. Now they could spend their spending money however they chose. I wasn't going to decide that. But once it was gone, it was gone, and we're there for a long time. But $10 when we were camping was a big deal, but that way if we stopped somewhere they could get gum. They have their own independence.
Right.
And sometimes we had a couple kids that went with us that didn't really have the opportunity to have supervised independence like that. And it was a really exciting thing for them to do. And I've got great stories. Oh, we don't have time. Anyway.
No, we got some more, but we do have to take a break. So hold that thought right there. And you are listening to Shasta Outdoors. We'll be back after these messages.
Make a rainbow shine that far. Twinkle, twinkle, lucky star.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. I'd like to thank everyone who came out for the 21st annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its inception in 2002, the fund has granted over $4 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated 45 organizations who received grants in 2022, with Shining Care and the Disability Action Center of Redding both receiving a $5,000 gift. With your help, we raised over $50,000 for Redding Rancheria Community Fund. The 21st anniversary Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
The City of Redding cares about clean, affordable transportation. Redding Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Alright, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
And tonight we have been talking with Lori Templeton. She is the owner of Grind Fire Defense, but she's been giving us some great ideas, some tips and tricks for going camping, talking quite a bit about children, you know, bringing the children along and the children bringing a friend, which is really cool. If you're going over to the coast, hey, camp inland some so that everything doesn't get wet overnight. And you establish that, hey, this is everybody's trip. It's not just the adults. It's not just the kids. It's for everybody. I liked your idea on drawing numbers for sharing the chores. And then if the child brings a friend, hey, the friend, you know, the parents are, they need to share in the cost of that, either the food or provide some cash to be able to do that. And so, Lori, these are really great, and I know we've got some more. So, yes, keep on keeping on with us.
Yeah, I got to watch. I mean, I got some stories that are just crazy. Like, you can't go with a rat pack like that for you know, 12 years and not have stories. But,
right.
But if we're staying with the tips and tricks, one of the intents with the money is one, to give the kids fiscal responsibility so they're not always asking you for money.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's clearly, if the parent wants to give them $50, that they have that. So then that's not on, that wasn't on our, as a burden or whatnot. But, when it came to the showering money, because if you've ever been to a campground, it requires quarters for your shower. And so every night, one of the things we also established was once it was dark, that was time for the evening to slow down, and that was time for you to get in your pajamas. It was time for your shower. And so we'd always have enough kids. And another good tip to do is invest in walkie-talkies. And we would always make sure the kids, you know, battle buddy, they always went with two. You couldn't go anywhere without two, period. There was no independent walking. So we had two, and each pair had a walkie-talkie, and then my sister and I had the walkie-talkie at the camp so the kids could communicate with the camp no matter where they went, even if it was just to the shower. So then that was teaching them some responsibility for the other kids, yet having the independence because they had the walkie-talkies, which we really appreciated. And then they would take their little quarters and their little bags. So all those little grocery bags that everybody throws away, if you're a camper, save them if you have kids, because those are little individual trip bags. So you don't have to bring a duffel bag that gets all gross and sandy everywhere you go.
Right.
Give them one of those little grocery bags. They put their towel in it, their soap, their four quarters for that trip because they had their quarter bag, and they put their little personal items, and it's in a disposable little bag, so it doesn't matter what happens to it. And they walk with their little partner in their walkie-talkie, and they go to the shower. We had a ton of kids, so they had to take turns because you couldn't just flood the showers. It would just be a nightmare, and they would have kicked us out. But so the kids would rotate, and you'd send an older pair with a younger pair. And so that was really helpful. But get those little bags, because we also use those for lunch.
Mm.
So instead of having a big, massive ice chest that me as a parent was responsible for, we did like an assembly. So for lunches, we do 2 days at the beach, 1 day at camp,
mm-hmm.
because we all needed to recover and the kids needed to recover too from the beach adventures. But when we went out, we would literally make an assembly line of sandwiches and fruit or whatever. Each kid would show up with their little plastic bag and we would drop their lunch items in their plastic bag. And so when we'd go to the beach, they'd have their lunch, they'd have their water, they'd have their money if they chose to bring it. They'd have a change of clothes, and they'd have their towel and their swimming suit. And it was in their personal bag.
Right.
And it was a personal bag that it didn't matter if it ripped. Didn't matter if it came back. I didn't expect them to ever come back. Right? Because they're just going to end up in the everywhere. But they owned it. So when little Billy decided to not take the time to get into the lunch line, and I say, hey, I recommend you get your sandwich. Pretty good idea to get your sandwich. And he doesn't. And then little Billy goes hungry that trip, and he will remember the sandwich line.
Right.
I mean, it was this accountability that they had, and they owned it. And so they loved it because they got to pick their little private items. And we did a quick check because you had to have a couple things for sure, a towel and your swimsuit, some basics, mm-hmm. or it would just be horrible. But so those little bags worked for the lunches as well. And then we were talking earlier about the morning, because you hear a lot of parents, it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get up early and I got to stay up late. And we didn't do that. So when we're camping, we really wanted it to be a moment and a time that kids unplugged from technology and everything. And they had that opportunity, but we also realized that we wanted to sleep in. So there was a hard, fast rule that electronics could not be used on the camping trip unless mom was asleep.
It was
beautiful. It was such a motivator. So the kids, and we had kids that camped a lot, and we did have some olders in the group. So really, you'd have to figure out how to do it. But the olders, we bought those little fire starters and the fire logs. So even though the little guys or the older guys could you hatch it and start a fire, they have the easy fire starter logs. So they'd all start the fire. And then we had lunches. I would pre-do get little Ziploc baggies and get the cereal that you're going to bring. And don't put it in a big bag. Don't bring it in the box. Take time to put all your cereal, any kind of muffins, cut those in quarters, put them in a little baggie. Apple slices can go in a baggie in the ice cooler. Whatever little munchy crunchies your kids could have as a holdover breakfast. And we got Little Milks, because you can get those little, well, I worked at a school, so I could get Little Milks. That's maybe a cheat. But, little
individual. You can still get them, but they're not in those cartons anymore.
Yeah.
They're in like the bottles.
Little bottles, right?
Yeah. Bottles,
and those maybe could go one for two, right? Because they're pretty big, but, or a smaller milk carton. Independent. Sure. I wanted less mess, so I tried to find things that were independent. And so I would put just like a cup, one serving size of cereal in a baggie. And it took a little time ahead of time because you'd have to, you know, zip like all these baggies. And then I would put a variety of, like, say we had three cereals because I didn't go crazy. And then I would put enough for a couple days in a large Ziploc. And then I tucked the others away. So what was reachable to the children was a variety of single-serve cereals, mm-hmm. the little plastic bowls and their little independent milks. Or they could choose and they could graze. And so they'd have their fire and they could graze on a snack. And the rule was, as long as I was in my tent and my sister was in her tent, they could keep playing with their electronics.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what, I've never seen a group of kids quiet until 11 o'clock. Like, I would be baking in my tent going, Jenny, we gotta get out. Yeah. We're dying. They'd bring us coffee. You would like some coffee? Would you like to stay in your tent? Because they didn't want us up, because the minute I hit outside, They're done. Electronics are done. And I'll tell you what, it was amazing.
Yep. I've always said that one of my favorite places to be is when I am out of cell phone service, up in the woods somewhere, mm-hmm. you know. And, I really appreciate everything that you do.
Absolutely.
I think that it demonstrates a sense of responsibility, for children, that when they're out, that they can be responsible for themselves.
Yeah.
And enjoy the great outdoors. I know, when Diane and I were young and would go mm-hmm. camping with mom and dad mm-hmm. and it was time to leave, mm-hmm. we were responsible to clean the camp space. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that,
yes.
Diane?
Yes.
But not only our camp space, but the camp spaces on either side of us,
nice.
If they were empty, that it was our job to go clean it up. And
get
I remember
the
back then thinking, why are we doing this campsite? We didn't leave this trash, but it really instilled in us a sense of responsibility for being out there, taking good care of the campsites, outdoors, nature, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you mentioned you had some stories. We just got a couple minutes left here. But tell us at least one before we go.
Oh, my goodness.
You were going to tell us about the candy or bottle.
Oh, yeah. There's always the first time one of a new friend came. You know, because friends change and, you know, you get some friends that are a little more cared for in their home. And I don't mean that bad, but like they have a lot of things done for them
mm-hmm.
and they hit our pack. And I am definitely a believer in providing safe structure and allowing children to, you know, make their choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things we did on the trip, is when they had their money, they were allowed to spend their money how they wanted to spend their money. Within,
right.
I mean, obviously within, they're not buying beer, right?
Within
reason.
No booze
for the kids.
Oh, come on.
But we did. We had one of the boys that came with us for the first time, and he's like, oh, can I buy some candy? And I'm like, dude, we're like halfway to the trip. We haven't even got to the campsite yet. One, I wouldn't spend the money. Two, I would recommend maybe you don't do it because you might get a stomach ache. And he's like, oh, no. He was just absolutely avid about it. And he did. He bought the candy, so much candy. He ate it all. And by the time we got to the campsite, he's like, I probably shouldn't eat all that candy. And I mean, he did just,
his poor little
tummy was not feeling good. And I'll tell you what, to this day, he remembers, he's like, yeah, you don't want to spend all your money and eat all your candy before you, and he traveled with us for, we probably did it for another 10 years. And he would tell the newcomers, yeah, dude, don't spend your money right now. Because at the end of the trip, he didn't have anything and his friends were buying ice creams and he's like, it was these great little life lessons, and you look at them, they had lessons about, I recommend you wear shoes, because my kids always ran around barefoot, so they were barefoot. But if you're a soft foot and you want to copy one of the people that are not, you're going to hurt. Just so many little lessons. You know, don't lick the banana slug was my favorite. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Lori, thank you so much for coming tonight. And I'm telling you, some great ideas, great tips, especially if you're bringing a bunch of children.
Man.
That is absolutely wonderful. You're that also is. The owner of Grind Fire Defense. And if people need to get a hold of you, they can call area code 530-999-2035. Or they can go to grindfiredefense.com. They also can find you on Facebook.
Right. Now that you gave my number away, I'm going to get all that money. Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, that's right. People are going to call you with money.
Absolutely.
Diane, we made it through another program.
Woohoo! We'll see you tomorrow, huh? All of everybody out there?
Yeah, we're going to go around and meet some outdoor.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.